Now, you mentioned education there in schools, and you and I have had a previous conversation about education and how, while that is a provincial thing, I feel like the federal party does have their hand in at least making some decisions when it comes to that. How is your party going to be making post-secondary education more accessible while at the same time not increasing the burden placed on students once they graduate?
Well, these recent cuts to OSAP is making life really difficult for a lot of people trying to go to university, and I hear about it at the door here in Milton constantly. From families, the number one concern that I hear at the door is education. I ask my first question when I knock on a door and it opens is, "Hi, my name's Adam. I'm your local Liberal candidate. What's the number one issue that's affecting your family?" And invariably, the answer is education. We might be talking about secondary, elementary, or post-secondary, but there's a couple of things in our platform, the Liberal Party platform, addressing the affordability of post-secondary. First of all, the loans that you get, we're going to keep those interest rates low. We're also increasing the amount that you can get, young students, up to $4,200 a year. So that's a good increase of about $1,000, I think. We're also going to increase the grace period. After you graduate, you're not going to have to start paying that loan back until you earn $35,000 a year or until 2 years is up. And if you have kids, then you're not going to have to pay back those loans until your kids are five. So we're not going to put a burden on raising your children as a result of having some leftover tuition fees. There are others. There are lots of ways that we're making post-secondary education more affordable, but we're also going to find solutions for secondary and for elementary school, okay? Because there is funding that comes from the federal government, and we got to find workarounds so that the schools are able to access that funding, because right now there's a little bit of a roadblock. In addition to that, we've got to stand up and listen to what the conservatives are saying about education. In particular, they've been talking a lot about tax breaks for sending kids to private school. If you want to defund and undermine a public institution like education, there is no better way than providing subsidy to avoid it. And this is straight out of the Harper playbook. Okay, providing subsidy for upper-class families to make decisions to avoid using public services. It's the same with healthcare. It's the same with the 407, quite frankly. We must maintain the integrity of our public institutions, and at the very, very top of that list is education for me.
And there's no real easy way to transition to this last one that we have here, but it's the CN Intermodal Hub. If it does get approved, and we won't maybe know that until December, so that's going to be post-election. But if it does get improved and your party is the one that is in power, how will your party address concerns that residents and local politicians have about the project?
So those concerns that local politicians and people have about the CN Intermodal, I share. I have been staunchly and strongly against the location for the CN Intermodal since I've been working here. Since I've heard about it, it's been a long time, and I've always opposed it. And so do most of my neighbors down in Oakville as well, because it's going to cause a traffic headache for both Milton and Oakville. That is the wrong location, and there's a lot of reasons for that, not the least of which you mentioned is safety. Regardless of who is elected and whatever, that position is not going to change for me. The fact remains, our MP was the transportation minister, and it didn't move. It didn't budge. I don't know why. I've read the articles and I've asked, but the reality is we need somebody that's going to stand up against that, see an intermodal location, and find a better solution. And I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to work with local residents, the town and region, whether it requires a land swap agreement with CN or something else. We have to find a solution because that is absolutely the wrong location for it. And, if, like you said, if it gets approved in December and it happens to be my party, I'll vote against my party. I'll stand up against it because I am very, very strong in the fact that that's going to have a negative impact on Milton's health, our local economy, the safety, and our environment.
What are your thoughts about the recent blackface, brownface scandal that occurred a couple of weeks ago?
I'm grateful that the Prime Minister provided an apology to Canadians who's who were offended by that. As a straight white male, I've never had to experience racism or bigotry or homophobia or sexism, and I'm grateful for that. But part of that gratitude, is reminding myself, acknowledging that is really important, and it has caused me and a lot of other people to reflect on how we can always be better. I'm really grateful that we have a prime minister that's always trying to be better, not just from a government perspective or a party perspective, but on a personal level too. Justin Trudeau is committed to always being better. It's one of the things he says, better is always possible, and I agree. Our party has a really good record. In the last 4 years, we've alleviated poverty in Canada by 900,000 people. We've taken action on the environment, whereas previous governments did not. We've improved our relationship with Indigenous people and closed a lot of the boil water advisories on First Nations territory. And we've definitely made some progress on a really difficult issue. That's like a 150 or 160-year-old problem. 4 years is not enough to solve it, but we're on the right track. We've also, you know, created an environment in Canada which is very conducive to building jobs, with over 1 million new jobs in the last 4 years, which is a phenomenal growth. We've also built the economy up 2.1% year over year since 2015. You know, we've got record low unemployment. We've got really, really good numbers. We've got a strategy going forward for the environment, on housing. And as I've told you over and over again, top three reasons that I got involved in politics and public service here in Milton is because I care about the environment, I want to alleviate poverty and provide housing for everybody, and I want to make sure that kids have a healthy opportunity to pursue their goals after school. And these are the things that I'm really, really excited to get working on here in Milton.
Now, there's a mindset among Canadians that, at least a group of Canadians, that Trudeau has a tendency to say one thing and do another. You know, says he's for the environment and then builds a pipeline and says he's a feminist, but then kicks out two high-ranking female caucus members. Can Canadians trust Trudeau after he says one thing and then does another?
Absolutely, Canadians can trust Justin Trudeau. There's a recent article that went through all of the promises that Justin Trudeau and the Liberal government got elected on. 50% of them are completely completed. You know, 50% of those promises have come true. A further 42% of those promises are in progress and, you know, soon to be complete or have gotten started. And 8% have fallen by the wayside. And he's acknowledged a couple of those. Namely, one that was important to me is proportional representation. We're going to pursue some kind of proportional representation, I think, and it's going to take a little bit of time to come to a decision on what that actually looks like, because it's pretty ambiguous at the outset. Look, on the topic of the pipeline, it's not a new pipeline, and that needs to be articulated to Canadians. We still have a reliance on fossil fuels, and a transition to green and renewable energy is going to require time. And between now and then, we cannot allow that period of time and that transition to cost millions and millions of jobs. You know, I drove here in a car. I drive a hybrid car, but the reality is it still uses a little bit of gas. And in Canada, we still heat our homes with natural gas in the winter, and we still cool them down. There's still provinces that burn coal. Okay, we're just not there yet. The reality is the TMX pipeline is currently a two-lane highway, and it needs to be a four-lane highway in order to maintain its effectiveness. So we're expanding a current pipeline to continue to do its job. The other thing about owning a pipeline is that you get to control the revenue. And the best part of that is when it's back up and running, it's going to have upwards of $500 million a year. And we're going to invest all of that money into green and renewables and planting trees. These are really, really good ways, you know, path forward. On the issue of feminism, Justin Trudeau has been outstanding in his defense of women. He stood up for progressive values on LGBTQ, equality of marriage, women's reproductive rights. He brought in a bill to provide tampons and sanitary napkins free of charge for women in government buildings, and he was ridiculed for that by the conservative government. Look, we have a very progressive feminist prime minister. Women in his party are very, very clear that they work for a feminist prime minister, and I'm proud of him for the progress that he's made.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to convey to your Milton residents that, you know, this is your campaign and this is what you're running for?
I got involved in public service to help people, you know, and I'm running for the Liberal Party because I think we're the party that's best positioned to work with everybody. I think there's good ideas on the left and there's good ideas on the right. And unlike my previous occupation as an athlete, I don't feel like I have any opponents. I'm not running against anybody. I'm running for people. I'm running for people here in Milton, and I'm going to ask my fellow progressives here in Milton to consolidate their vote with the Liberal Party so that we can bring a progressive voice to Ottawa and make sure that our voices are heard.
All right. Thank you, Adam, for coming in. It's Adam Van Coverden, the Liberal candidate for the federal election. And Adam, will talk to you again probably on October 21st is going to be the day.
Looking forward to it, Cam. Thanks very much.
No problem.